Verse 17 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in to him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Our subject is the assurance of faith. The assurance of faith. And we're told in Hebrews 11:35 that it was by faith that this woman received her dead child raised to life again. We're told it was by faith. It was by faith that she received this dead child to life again, just like we saw with the Shunammite woman. Now, God had given her faith in the Lord. We saw this last time, how that he sent Elijah there, and she had just a little meal and a little oil, and she believed the word of the Lord that Elijah delivered to her, and she gave that to Elijah first. And so the Lord sustained her, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, Christ is the bread from heaven. He's the meal that never runs out. He's the bread from heaven. And the Spirit of the Lord is the oil of gladness. He's the oil of joy that never runs out. He's our life according to the word of the Lord. Now, God gives us faith in the Lord Jesus, and he's going to grow his child in the assurance of faith. He's going to grow us in the assurance of faith. And that's where she's going to end up. Now, at the end, verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know. The word is, I'm assured. I have assurance that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And when the Lord gives us life, when he regenerates us and gives us faith in Christ, we have assurance in Christ. We have assurance in Christ. We believe on him. We trust him to be our salvation. But we're so apt to seek for assurance in other places besides Christ. We're so apt to look for assurance in ourselves, in the gifts God's given, in the fruit he's produced, in earthly blessings. So God is going to grow us in the assurance of faith. He's going to grow us in the assurance of faith. How so? The same way he did this widow. God sent this woman great trouble to grow her in the assurance of faith. That's what this is about. It's for her sake that he's doing this, to grow her in the assurance of faith. It says, verse 17, it came to pass after these things. He'd given her all that great blessing. Now you think, you go a full year and this barrel of meal never runs out. The cruse of oil never runs out. Every day you go there, you got meal. You got oil. It would be real easy to start finding assurance in that barrel, in that cruse of oil, and in yourself, and in Elijah as a man, in these other things. Well, the Lord is going to make certain that our assurance is in Christ alone. After God had worked that grace for her, God worked more grace for her. This was grace. What was it? God made her son to fall sick and die suddenly. You mean that was God working grace for her? Yes, it was. Absolutely. Christ said the life of a believer must be full of tribulation. It's not just that we're going to happen to run into trials. No, it must be. This is God, how he keeps us, looking to him only. It must be. It must be. But it's for this purpose Christ declared that in me you might have peace. That's the purpose, that in Christ we find our peace, our assurance. Beholding that Christ truly is our life, God's going to make Christ the assurance of our faith. He is our assurance, Christ. He's going to make us know more assuredly so that we're of good cheer that Christ has overcome the world and we've overcome the world in him. He's going to keep us assured in Christ alone. God our Father only chastens those he loves, and he does it for this reason, so that our assurance remains Christ alone. Christ alone. Now, first of all, God chastens to keep us from having assurance in ourselves or in any of his blessings that he's given us. He says in verse 18, when he brought this child died suddenly. Now, you can just know how sorrowful this was and just how tragic this was to her. Now, here's her reaction, verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" Now, her response is much harsher than the Shunammite woman's was. The Shunammite woman said it as well. God had given this woman and her son life by his word that he had delivered by his prophet. He had given this widow spiritual life and faith by the word which he delivered by his prophet. But after he sustained her for a full year, she probably doesn't think she's going to have anything else to worry about. And all of a sudden, her child dies. God took her child suddenly. And her response was, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" This is the same as that Gadarene, same meaning as the Gadarene. When our Christ came to that demoniac, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." And that's exactly the heart that's what she was saying right there. She's probably heard of Elijah declaring the sin of Israel and that he had prayed and God withheld rain, and now she thinks he's come to do the same to her. "Are you come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" She's accusing Elijah of mocking her. She's saying, "You did me good and made me think you were doing me good only to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son because of my sin." And yet in the midst of her unbelief, we see a flicker of faith here. She calls Elijah, "O thou man of God." She's all jumbled up here. She's full of unbelief, but she still has faith. The Lord, we're told in Hebrews 11, it was by faith that she received her child from the dead. She knows what God did for her through his word spoken by Elijah. She knows this. The Lord saved her life. He sustained her and her son's life and her whole house now for a full year. But she's so overcome in sorrow, she thinks, in her unbelief, she's saying, "It was only to trick me. It was only to bring my sin to remembrance and to slay me for my sin." Now, believer, let me ask you something. When the hard trial comes, have you ever had those thoughts? Have you ever thought that after all that God the Father has done for you in Christ, it's only to bring your sins up again and to slay you for them? We probably wouldn't admit that we think that, but we do. Certainly do. Christ put away the sin of his people. He completely, thoroughly put away the sin of his people. And God says, I remember your sins no more. They're gone before God. But God will keep us from having assurance in anything of ourselves. Now, how do we see that in this? After the Lord works this work, that we're going to see him work here, after he's done this work, and she looks back on how she reacted to this trial and these harsh words that she spoke to Elijah. She's not going to have any assurance in herself. Because she's going to see, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. He's going to keep us from finding assurance in his gifts, from having assurance in our faith or the meal or the cruise of oil or whatever blessings God's given to us. He's keeping our assurance being Christ alone. When this is all done and she looks back on how she responded when the trial started, she's going to say, I can't trust me. I can't trust me. I can't have assurance in me. How's it going to bring her assurance to Christ? Well, when our Lord sends trouble by his irresistible grace, he's going to make us cast all our care on Christ again, like it's the first time we ever did it. It says here in verse 19, he said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom. It means he seized him. He took possession of him. And he carried him up into a loft where he abode, and he laid him upon his own bed. Now you just look at Christ here in Elijah. He said to her, he didn't respond at all to what she said. In fact, the old covenant shows us what we are in our flesh. And we read here how she responded. The everlasting covenant of grace under the blood of Christ. You go to Hebrews 11, God does not mention her response. God says, by faith, she believed God and she received her child from the dead. How can that be? We see nothing but unbelief in this woman. God, he doesn't mention it. He said she did this by faith. It's by Christ and what he does for us, sustaining our faith, that we have assurance in him. Now watch what he does. He came to her and he said, give me thy son, and he took him out of her bosom. Now her son is an extension of herself. This is her flesh. This is her. So the son's going to be brought to life again. But what God's doing, he's doing for her. He's doing for her. It's the woman the Lord's dealing with. He's growing her in faith in the Lord. He's keeping her assurance being the Lord alone. Now she, by this chastening, by her son dying, she's become sick, spiritually sick. She's at a low state right here. Her inner man appeared as dead as the child. She doesn't appear to have faith at all. The Lord brings us to this state on purpose. This is what he does by his chastening, loving hand. It's on purpose. He comes to us then and he says, give me yourself. Give me your heart. Cast all your burden on me. We wouldn't do it if he didn't come to us and seize us. Irresistibly by his grace, just like Elijah came and seized this child from her. That's what he's going to do for us. He's going to take us to himself just like Elijah took this child to his bosom. Christ does this. And he makes us behold him and what he's done for his people. He makes us behold him. Christ lifts our heart to him on the cross. And then he lifts our heart to him seated at God's right hand. He carries this up by faith to where he abides at God's right hand, just like Elijah carried this child up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. The Lord's going to carry you in spirit and in faith and cause you to set your affection on him, because he's going to head you into where you can't look anywhere else. And by his grace, he's going to set you on him. And he makes you to behold him as your intercessor and as your advocate with the Father. Verse 20, and he cried unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Elijah interceded for the widow. The Lord, his God, had given her good, and he also brought the evil upon the widow. And it's just like Elijah's interceding for her, Christ intercedes for those for whom he died. Elijah only sojourned with the widow. Christ abides with us. He abides with his children. Now, James tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we see that here with Elijah. And every believer, by the grace of God, we're going to fervently pray for one another. The Lord's going to have us pray for one another. But our prayer is effectual, fervent prayer, because Jesus Christ the righteous ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation for our sin. He advocates. He is the righteousness with the Father, who the Father beholds, and for whose sake and by whom and through whom the Lord continues to show us this great mercy he's showing to this woman. This is not for her harm. This is not hurting her. This is for her good. It's going to end in her good. It's for God the Father's glory. It's for Christ's righteousness' sake. And Christ, just like Elijah is saying here, Father, for your glory. He's just interceding for this woman. He's just interceding for her. Whatever the Lord's willing to do. Christ made himself one with his people. And it's by his life that we live. He made himself one with his people, and it's by his life that we live. He is our life. He says here in verse 21, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. When it says he stretched himself upon the child, it means he measured or meted himself upon the child. It's just what we saw with Elisha, with the Shunammite child. Christ made himself one with God's elect. He became us. Our sin became his, and his righteousness becomes ours. And he enters in, and he's that new man that he's created. Is Christ in you? That new man is so inseparably united with Christ. Christ is the life of our new man. He is. Our curse became his curse so that he put away our sin, and his righteousness is our righteousness through God-given faith. Now, Elijah did this three times and cried unto the Lord. In the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord went apart, separate, and cried three times. We read in John 17 that great intercessory prayer he made for his people. And our Lord willingly submitted to God's will. He went to the cross and laid down his life willingly for his people and bore the wrath of God in place of his people to put away our sin and make us the righteousness of God in him. So we're one with him. And the scripture says he cried with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared the Lord. Verse 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Elijah prayed, Lord, let the soul of this child come back into him. This is what Christ, he's doing this for the child. But this is what the Lord is doing in the heart of the widow woman. He's causing his spirit to revive her and renew her and give her assurance in the Lord alone. And that's what he does for us when he's working his work of grace through the trials he sent. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. When the Lord turns us, you remember how sad they were when Christ went to the grave? They were like this woman. They thought it was all mockery, that we thought this had been him who was going to redeem us. And they were weeping, they were sad, they were sorrowful that Christ went to the grave. But on the third day, he came out of that grave. He arose. And his people arose in him, righteous and holy and complete in him. And we sat down in him at God's right hand. By Christ's intercession for us, he not only regenerates us when he comes in the season of his love, he continues to revive and renew us by his Spirit, keeping him being all our assurance. This is true revival. This is true revival. Verse 23, and Elijah took the child, and he brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and he delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now again, let me remind you, Hebrews 11 says, by faith this woman received her dead raised to life again. Did we see much faith in her at the beginning of this? Didn't see much faith in her, did we? We see faith in Elijah. But God's working faith in Elijah here to give us a picture of Christ and what Christ does for us as our intercessor. Remember how the disciples, when they were cast down and the women came to the tomb, they were speaking in unbelief, just like this widow. Just like this widow. And Christ arose and he came to them and he showed Mary. He said, see, thy son liveth. He made good on his promise to his disciples, and this is the promise he makes to us. How are we going to have assurance? Where is our assurance, really? Where is it? He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And this is the substance of assurance right here. He's going to make you see him and make you see that because he lives, you live. Because he lives, you live, believer. He's going to bring us to the end of ourselves. And he keeps doing this over and over and over. Because we are so prone to look for assurance anywhere but Christ. And he's going to have all the glory. And if he let us find assurance anywhere but him, we will perish in unbelief. So he's going to keep bringing us to the end of ourselves and lifting our inner man to him at God's right hand to behold, he is alive. Our righteousness is a living redeemer, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. If a leaf falls off that tree out there, somehow he's working that together for the good of his people. Everything is coming to pass in this world. He's working it for the good of those he's redeemed. And he's going to keep his believing children looking to him only and finding all our assurance and all our confidence in him alone. And just like the Lord brought her son to this widow through his prophet, Christ keeps coming to us through his gospel and saying, see, thy son liveth, thy redeemer liveth, thy God reigneth. And here's the point. It's beholding Jesus Christ, our righteousness, risen, living, interceding on our behalf, that he revives us and makes himself and only himself to be the assurance of our faith. Turn with me to read verse 24 first. And the woman said to Elijah, here's where she ended up, "Now by this I know, I'm assured, I have assurance now." And this is what you're going to say of Christ. "Thou art the man of God. You're the God-man mediator. You're my righteousness. And the word of the Lord is in your mouth in truth." He's going to keep him being our assurance. Go with me to Hebrews 10. And look here in verse 19. He said there that he had, by one offering, he perfected forever them that are sanctified, and the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. And he's going to keep bearing witness in our heart. He's going to keep on bearing witness to us. He said, "Their sins and iniquities I remember no more." So there's no more offering for sin. But now look here. Here's the assurance of faith right here. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." There's our assurance. Why did Elijah go up there and pray to the Lord? Why did he have boldness to enter into God's holy of holies? By the blood of Jesus. "By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. Through the veil," that is to say, he is that way. It's through his broken body and shed blood. Through his risen ascension in glorified human flesh, through his flesh, "and having a high priest over the house of God." What does the high priest do? He made gifts and offerings to God for his people, and he can have compassion on his people when we're ignorant and out of the way. And this is what he continues to do. "Having this," having the blood of Christ, having this new way that's him, and having him there as our high priest, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." That full assurance of faith is him. It's him. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." And that's what we see our Lord work for this woman. He faithfully kept her unwavering. Who was the faith of her faith? When she was going to Elijah and she was so sorrowful she couldn't see anything but her dead child, and she was blaming Elijah. Where did she get that from? Where'd that come from? It came from the garden. It came from the fall. Blaming God. Who sustained her faith? Christ did. Who sustains our faith? Christ does. And why does he do this? To make us see he's faithful. To make us see he's our high priest. To make us see it's only by his blood alone that we're righteous. Please don't ever find assurance in yourself. Please don't ever find assurance in anything, even anything he's created in you. Find it in him. He's faithful that promised. He's going to keep us finding all our assurance in him. Let's go to him. Father, thank you for this word. Pray, Lord, that you'd work this for us. Keep us looking to Christ. Keep us being assured that we have full salvation in him. That you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. You're going to keep us renewed, keep us revived, keep us finding all our confidence in him alone. Lord, let us now come near your throne of grace by his blood, by his perfect righteousness. And hear us, Father, and our high priest, we ask you. Lord, if there be any cast down and unbelief. It's this poor widow. We trust, Lord, that you, if they're yours, you're working it for your purpose. You're going to work this very thing in each of your people. You've promised us that we must go through tribulation. You've promised us that you'll keep us in good cheer because you've overcome the world on our behalf. You'll keep us looking to you and by faith make us overcome. Lord, we ask you, fulfill this promise for us, for Christ's sake. Revive, Lord. Forgive us our sin, forgive us our unbelief, for his sake, for his righteousness' sake. Send Christ our advocate, we ask it. Amen.